without him, I can do nothing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to talk today on God's divine order as it relates to honor. God's divine order. God is a God of order. And everything he does, I always use the illustration, God is the most purposeful being on the face of the earth. He doesn't do anything just for no reason. There's always a purpose. And so it's very important that we understand God's order. Open up your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. We're going to be reading a few scriptures there in Romans 13 and 1. And because of the time's sake, I'm going to just go ahead and start reading. In Romans 13 and 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." And I'm going to stop there. And what I want to do is I'm going to read the New King James Version of verse 1. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." So one of the things I want to establish is that God, like I said, he's a God of order, and he sets things and people in place because there's, like I said, there's no power but of God. And so that's not just spiritual, but that's also from every area of life, law enforcement, political, all of that. God is a God because he's a God of order. Because without some form of order, there will be chaos. Power and authority a lot of times are used interchangeably, but they're not always meaning the same thing. Because power plus authority will equal dominion. A person can have power and have no authority to execute that power. Or you can have power but no authority to carry out an assignment. I remember watching a movie once with Samuel L. Jackson, and he was leading a troop of commandos into an area to rescue an ambassador of one of the United States, I guess UN embassies. And he executed his assignment. He got the ambassador and his family out, and they were shooting at him and his troops. And it got to the point where each one of those men had machine guns that they could have, they could basically have eliminated all the shooting. But they stayed down and they waited. In other words, they had the power to take control of the situation, but they didn't have the authority. And then it got to the point where I think he was like, I don't know what his position was, but he saw that the only way he can get his troops out was to clear the area. And even though there might have been some bystanders in there, which would have caused some collateral damage, he gave the order to go ahead and shoot so we can get out. Because the minute we stand up, they were going to kill us, But that was an example of his men having the power but not the authority. And then, the movie goes on, and I'm not going to go into it. Well, they were accusing him of using excessive force, but he had to do what he had to do to get his troops out, So when you have power and authority, you're going to have dominion. The Amplified Bible to verse 13 and 1 says, "Let every person be loyally subjected to the governing civil and spiritual authorities, for there is no authority except from God. His permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment." So people who are in a position of authority are there because of God's appointment. All authority and all power has been appointed and instituted by God. When true authority is present, order will be in place because power is present to enforce that authority. I'm going to read that again. When true authority is in place, there's going to be order. When you have an authority figure and that authority is in place, well, then you're going to see order because the power is there to enforce that authority. In God's kingdom, there will be divine order. The Bible speaks about God and his divine order. I'm going to read what the Message says in Romans 13 and 1. It says, be a good citizen. All governments are under God. Insofar as there is peace and order, it's God's order. God's divine order. So live responsibly as a citizen. If you are irresponsible to the state or the country you live in, then you're going to be irresponsible with God. And God will hold you responsible. Duly instituted authorities are only a threat if you are trying to get away with something. Decent citizens should have no fear. But what I want to point out in that verse where it says, you know, that all governments and all power is under God, insomuch that peace and order is God's order. So when you look at authority, authority and order will go hand in hand. What I want to point out also, too, is, and we talked about this last week, that the government is upon the shoulders of Jesus. In the book of Isaiah, it says, unto us a child is born, and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end. The throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, and the zeal of the Lord will perform this. One of the things I've seen in the apostle in the last several years is him having a zeal to see the government of God established again as God designed for it to be from the very beginning. You know, where you have the office of the apostle and the prophet, those two offices leading the way to establishing the church and establishing the church government, because if those two positions are not in place properly, well, then there's not going to be a proper flow of God's power flowing down, and you're going to have a lot of people doing a lot of good things, but when you have no power or authority to execute what God wants to implement, you're going through the motions and you're seeing no results. And one of the things we want in our lives and in our churches is for results to take place. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing manifestations of results taking place because God's divine order, God's government is being set up. And where there is order in government, there will be honor.
Yes, sir.
Where there's order in government, there will be honor, because the two goes hand in hand. One of the things I stated last week, that order is a structure of honor. Order is the structure of honor. When the structure of a spiritual house is set up right, it brings and it will produce honor. Because when people are honoring a gift and sowing into that gift, receiving from that gift, as I stated earlier in previous classes, there's a transfer that's made. And when the transfer is made properly, you receive what you need and you are empowered now to walk in authority and to walk in honor. You are required to honor the ranks, the levels, the positions that God has set up in the government of God by divine order or his protocol. If you get the proper divine order established in God's government, the structure of order will produce honor in individuals' lives. Something took place, I guess it was a week or so ago. We were in prison ministry at one of the facilities not far from here. And the minute we walked in, one of the inmates saw us, and he said, wow, we didn't know you guys were coming. Because, you know, we could have gotten more guys out, because we know when y'all come, y'all bring forth the word. I remember him saying that. And then as we got into the facility and started ministering, God began to show me how order. Because being trained and being under apostle, they knew that, hey, the service is going to have to start at a certain time. They're going to have to turn it over to us. And they knew the protocol. And so they didn't tarry or anything like that. And even when the speaker got up, it was a reverence and it's a respect. Introducing the other ministers that were there, you sensed a reverence and a respect. And all of that was because of when you're properly trained, people see it and it's kind of like, well, I know I just can't do what I want to do.
Right.
You know, I remember one situation where this gentleman who led worship and praise, he said, well, I know when y'all come, we can only sing certain songs. We can't sing those Baptist songs because we've taught them, hey, that's not giving glory to God. You know, and you see, all of that's a part of order because it's God's government and God's structure being manifested and being set up. Amen.
Amen.
All right. God's established divine order from the beginning of creation. Even in the natural realm, order was established by God. When we read Romans 13 and 1, it's talking kind of like twofold, God's government, but also to man's structure. You know, I use the illustration of a police officer standing at the corner. Though he has a badge on and has a uniform on, at any given time, somebody can just plow and run right over him, because he's in a position. But because he's backed up by the city of Gonzales, the state of Louisiana, basically the whole United States, you stop and you obey because the power is there to back up the enforcement. And that's so very important, you know. And so in the church, what's happening now is God's power is being manifested to back up the enforcement, to where manifestation is being. And you see, all of that produces honor.
Yes.
It produces honor because you're going to reverence and you're going to respect something that God has established simply because of the fact that you know God's hand is in it. And you don't want to be on the backside of God's hand. You want to be on the receiving end. Amen. Just like God has set up a divine civil. Let me read this again. Just like God has set up our ordained civil law and order, he also has set up spiritual law and order. And when one gets out of order spiritually, which is the spirit of dishonor, there are consequences. You know, you don't want to be in a situation where you're out of order spiritually, or in a situation where you usurp authority. I'm gonna use an illustration. When I was a student in the School of Ministry, some 26, 27 years ago, I'll never forget this, and I don't think I shared this in the class yet, but I remember this one episode where the instructor was ministering, and whatever he said, one or two of the students tried to correct him by, you know, saying, well, I think you mean this, sir, and then somebody else got into it. But what had happened was, this was a Saturday class, and we had prayer that Saturday, and the apostle was at prayer, and so before he left to go home, he said, well, let me just sit in on the class. So he went in. It was back in the old church, back in the city of Darrow. He sat in the back. Very few people knew he was in the class. And while this discussion was going on, you know, he said that he didn't say that. I immediately, in a sense, a holy fear came upon me, because I said, this ain't going to be pretty. It's not going to be. I mean, because they were debating the instructor. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because because order has to be established in every level, and there's got to be a respect. In order for you to receive properly, you have to honor. And within 2 or 3 minutes, Apostle stood up and he said, "Excuse me, instructor." And the instructor at that time was actually the dean of the university, the dean of the school. And he said, "I'm the president of this school. If any correction is going to be taking place, I'm going to be the one to correct my instructors. That's not your place." He said, I'll return and refund your money, and you can leave this school right now, because we're not going to have disorder in this school." And I remember that like it was yesterday, you know. But the thing I learned from it was, can I say this? Not only do you have to nip disorder in the bud, but when you have established order, you know, 6 people left the school that day, never to return. But all of a sudden now, those who stayed, the order was there. The flow was there, because there was no competitiveness. You see, in divine order, there's no competition. There's no competition, you know, because we all on the same team, striving to do what God's called us to do. And that's important. But that was a lesson. I mean, I to this day, I've never forgot. We're going to look at it, and I've talked about this before, but we're going to actually look at it in the scriptures today. Turn with me in your Bibles to Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. We talked about it last week, but I want to put more emphasis on it today. Numbers chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verse 1. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, this is the story of Miriam and Aaron who spoke against Moses. Numbers chapter 12 says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had not the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now, the man Moses was very meek among all the men that were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out." And this is what the Lord said. "And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the midst of the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth." So they got called on the carpet. And this is what the Lord said. "And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. But he said, verse 7, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house." So he's telling you how he sees Moses as being faithful. Say, he's not just a prophet. You know, Moses was operating under an apostolic. You got to recognize Moses went up and he took his shoes off and basically at one point in time actually saw the similitude of God. And saw the bush burning. So Moses had face-to-face contact to some degree, not where he could see God, but as close as you could get. So it wasn't like, you know, I'm going to give him some divine information in a dream or a vision. He said, you know, Moses is not so. He says, my servant Moses is not so, because he's faithful in all my house. Verse 8, with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. So I said, no, he's going to see my form. Therefore, then were you not afraid, or not having the reverence, not having the respect to understand, basically, that you don't come against my man of God. You don't come against, you know, my apostolic authority on the earth at that time, which was Moses. You know, and it said how the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And then, as we know, Miriam was turned into a leper. But the key here was that even if there's natural a relationship in the natural, it doesn't supersede what God has appointed and what God has ordained. You know, you might be kin to so-and-so or the pastor or whatever. You know, when they stand in that apostolic office or their offices, which are appointed by God, they're God's men and women for that hour. And they're to be respected and to be honored. Because the only way you're going to get what's on them is by honoring them and honoring the gift that God has placed in him. And Miriam was out of order by speaking against Moses for marrying the Ethiopian woman. She showed dishonor towards Moses, which was her brother, but she dishonored him by not respecting the anointing that was on his life and the decision that he made. If he messed up, God was going to correct him, not you, you know, and that's so very important. See, all of that's talking about order. You never want to, I've heard the term for years, usurp authority by stepping outside your boundaries. That's an area of dishonor, you know, but Apostle talked about something today, well, a few minutes ago, when the grace message came. And I remember when he made the turn towards the grace message. It, on the inside, I'm saying, I don't understand, but I'm going with him, you know. And then, as he said, the Lord, as he got into it more, the Lord showed him where, you know, grace is not a substitute, you know, to give you a license to sin. Well, I can just go because I can just apply grace to this. No, grace is to lead you into righteousness so you don't sin, you know. And here again, it's you know, sometimes, like he said, the Lord will lead him into an avenue so he can investigate it, and then the Lord will show him the fallacy in it. But it's not for us to say, Pastor, I don't think that's right. No, that, you don't do that. Don't do that. You know, this is what Bishop Tudor Bismarck says. He says, even circular rulers placed in this world, police forces, political forces, have been placed there by God to execute on God's behalf the forces of God's kingdom so that the demonic spirits do not advance. If people don't understand these powerful structures that are in place, they will reap the benefits of damnation because God places authority in position so that, how can I say this, so that we can walk according to God's will and walk, you know, into, just like Moses led the children of Israel into the promised land, so that we can walk into our wealthy place, so that we can walk and be completely whole and be completely free of whatever the enemy is trying to come against us with. All right. And this is something we shared earlier, but I want to read it again. In the military, there is a certain protocol that always must be followed, you know. And if a person gets out of that protocol, they're disciplined, you know. And if they continue along that path of dishonor, eventually you'll get dishonorably discharged because you're not following protocol. And how can I say this? Dishonor can be contagious. If somebody starts challenging something, it may give you the notion, well, there's a few things I want to say myself, you know. And so it's so very important that when you know, situation with Miriam and Aaron. Well, Aaron just kind of went along. And even that, when you see somebody walking in dishonor, You correct them and you stand away, get away from them, because they're walking on thin ice, you know. And it's so very important that you don't want to be around them. I'll give you an example. When Corinth went against Moses, and he had a company of people with him, you know, and he said, you know, I can hear from God just like Moses. And then God told Moses that, you know, to have all those people that's trusting in you and your leadership, those people who wanted to be with Corinth. and the ground opened up and swallowed. And you might have been indifferent, but you were standing on the wrong side, you know, and you got swallowed up too. You know, so when somebody get in error and get out of order, it's time for me to separate myself. Amen. 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 All right. All life comes from God. And when people blatantly dishonor, okay, we talked about life sources. And I said a life source is anyone that produces, nurtures life from a mother giving birth to a child, to a pastor nurturing his flock, you know, to an apostolic leader who's pouring out apostolic strategies for the generations and for what God is doing. So a life source is anyone that nurtures or produces or gives life. And anytime people dishonor a life source, the author says, it unleashes demonic attacks, satanic generational curses, poverty, all kinds of barrenness and famine. So you don't want to dishonor or disrespect a life source. All life comes from God. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. Because when a person, with God being sovereign, I mean, he's all by himself. He's, you know, none to be equal. But at the same time, he delegates. You know, he delegates to whom he wants to place his mantle on, or to place an anointing of a prophet or apostle or evangelist, a pastor and teacher, whatever, you know, and that's by his doing, you know. And when they operate in God's divine order, well, then when you blatantly dishonor them, you're actually dishonoring God, you know. A lot of people don't have a problem. Say, well, I love God, but when you, like I stated, you know, last week, when you put your mouth on what God has blessed, you cannot be blessed. Amen. You know, a lot of teaching in this class on honor, you'll find me talking about a lot of areas where dishonor is present, because in the Bible you see a lot of areas where people, because of not knowing and because of not understanding, operate in some type of dishonor or disrespect, and the consequences they suffered because of it, you know. But at the same time, there were people who honored. You know, Jabez was one. He was more honorable than his brethren. Even though his brothers might have been honorable to their mother, but he took it to another level, and he honored his mother, you know, even though she couldn't, you know, provide for him like she probably wanted to, but he honored her. And because of that, you know, God blessed him because of his honoring. There's a reciprocation. And I say, we talked about reciprocal, you know, when you so honor, God is going to cause you to reap honor. As you sow it into other people's lives and operate and function in it, you're going to find that God will honor you. Yeah. What I want to do now, I got about 10 minutes left. We're going to begin to now look at six. I'm going to try to do all of them, but I don't know if I'll finish. Six different levels of honor. Six different levels of honor. The first level of honor is honoring God. Above all else, we must honor God. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. The Amplified Bible says, honor the Lord with thy capital and sufficiency from righteous labor and with the first fruits of your income. So the first thing you want to do, you want to honor God. Honor God, putting him first, you know. I use the illustration is when God has blessed you with an income or with a job, you give him that 10%, and then also you sow seed, which is not so much above 10%, but you have the seed, which the 10%, which belongs to God. But now you have offering. or love seed that you're sowing in. So that's what actually begins to bring more increase, you know, because you're giving God his portion, but at the same time now, those people who God has put in position to bless you, to nurture you, now you're sowing into them personally, and you're giving them their just due for what God has placed in them and that they're placing in you. It says here in Revelations 5 and 12, say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. In Samuel 2 and 30, it says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I have said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. In other words, you're not going to get much. You're going to be lightly esteemed. But if you honor me, I will honor you. You know, if you honor God's righteous cause, God will honor you. Psalms 96, 7 and 8 says, give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Now glory, when you see the word glory, you think of gold, you think of silver, you think of monetary. You know, because glory is not just glistening. I know for years we would think, God's glory is coming down and his presence. But whenever God shows up, God never shows up empty-handed. He always shows up with blessing. You know, so he says, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. And this is the scripture here, Psalms 96, 7 and 8. It says, bring an offering and come into his courts. So you never want to go before God without any glory. And then it kind of lets you know what the glory is. It says, bring an offering and come into his courts. So when you're in the presence of God or you in the sanctuary, you want to bring an offering, because that gives glory to God. Amen. It gives glory to God. The author says that there is a principle. The reason many countries never get the benefit of the great gifts that God has given that country is because they do not honor the apostolic and prophetic gift that God has placed in that region. With that said, I want to read from Matthew chapter 13, verse 57. Well, let me go there, because I really want to start it a little before that. Turn me to Matthew chapter 13 right quick. Okay, let's look at verse 54. It says, and when he had come into his own country, it's talking about Jesus, he taught in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, hence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary and his brother James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? I remember us reading this last week. And his sisters, are they not all with us? From hence had this man all these things. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And the principle that the author wanted us to look at, he says, in many countries, the benefit of the gift that God has for them is never completely, it never completely does what it's supposed to do because of a lack of honor. It's bad when People come from other states, from other countries, and they glean from the gift that God has placed in a region. And they receive more of the blessing than those who are right in the house because of familiarity. You know, you never want to allow your man or your woman of God to become too familiar with you, to where you see them as common. That's dishonor, because God has placed that. And you see, this is what we're seeing changing now in the body of Christ. And through Apostle and through the conferences, the Money Come to You conferences and the camp meetings, and especially when we honor our man of God during a Founders Night, we're changing that paradigm to where those who are here locally honor the gift that God has placed in their midst. When you do that, God can't help but bless you, because that gift was there. Let me go ahead and finish reading. Every gift is given to a region to match the needs of the region. But generally speaking, especially in our part of the world, say Darrell, Louisiana, Baton Rouge, people have greater respect for ministries that come from other countries, you know, or from another state. That's a dishonor. I remember years ago, Apostle was ministering in New Orleans with Dr. Dollar, and I was at those meetings. And the people in the city of New Orleans didn't quite receive the prosperity message. Matter of fact, you know, we were told that some of the ministers were probably encouraging their members not to even attend. So the attendance wasn't that high. And I remember the apostle saying that when he was leaving, one of his sons was driving him back into, you know, into this area. He had him stop the car, and he took his feet and he shook the dust because of the dishonor, you know. And we all know what Katrina did to New Orleans, you know, and whether or not it had anything to do with it, but there were people who couldn't get out because they didn't have the money. You know, there were people, you know, God knows what our needs are. I see I have a minute left. And it's so important that we, you know, take heed to what God has blessed us with so that we now can receive all that God has. I remember when we had the flood in 2006, my wife and our house took on water. But it was God supernaturally restored us. I mean, we were the first people back in our neighborhood. We only stayed out of our house a week. You know, by November, we were completely remodeled and finished, you know. And because the resources were there to get it done, because of us, you know, taking heed, honor our man of God, you know, people showed up and they did what they had to do. Let me read this here, and then we're going to go ahead and conclude. What is the greatest level of dishonor a church can show towards their apostolic source or spiritual leader? When the people don't act on the word that's sown into them, that's probably the greatest dishonor, you know, that a church or a people can have towards their apostolic leader. When they don't act on the word and begin, because the whole purpose and reason why that man of God is there is to bring, you know, to match the needs of the people in that locality, to lift them up to a higher level. And when they don't respond and reap the benefit, that in itself is dishonor, because God is giving it to you, but you're not receiving it. And that can't happen, and it's not going to happen, because I see God's people rising up. Amen. All right, we're going to conclude for today. Amen. You guys be blessed and continue to take the quizzes. And I think we may have one or two more class sessions before we actually have an exam. Amen. Yes.